This is a Johnny Happ production. Bring Them Home Now bus tour rolled through Chicago. I caught up with them at an afternoon rally at Northeastern Illinois University, en route from Crawford, Texas to Washington, D.C. for the September 24th protest. They're spreading the word city to city to end this war and bring the troops home now. First speaker is Juan Torres from Chicago. Military claims his son committed suicide in Afghanistan. He knows that's not the case. The Bring 'Em Home Now bus tour from Chicago.
We are going to change this world. No more guns, no bombs. We are going to change this world. No more guns, no bombs. We are going to change this world. Together, forever, we're going to change this world.
My son, Juan Manuel Torres, is in Afghanistan. 12 days before he finished 8-year contract. He denounced many times about the problem, the traffic drug inside the base, about the office people. And I say, you gotta be careful. But daddy, but it's, I don't think so, nothing happened, because it's my people. But the last time when I called my son 10 hours before he died, daddy, everything's okay, no problem. And my wife, she's coming 2 hours before he's died. And the next day, we received the news, my son is dying, shot in the head. I said, I can't believe it. When the coffin is coming to Texas, that's the first information, the military say, don't open the coffin, it's coming locked because your son, they don't have a head. Okay, when the military left, we don't pay attention. We go to the funeral home, and I told the lady, the name is Karen, can you open my son's coffin? Say, we have an order for don't open your son's coffin. But I said, I am the father, my son is dying. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Torres. And she's opened the coffin. And the head is perfect, completely. And I see the shot, something right here. May I take the autopsy? Sure, you are the father. Okay. After the funeral, the past funeral and military ceremony, everything, Tuesday passed. On the Wednesday, we told Karen for finish the paper, work, everything. Karen, can I see tomorrow? Okay, yes. I wait for you at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's okay? Oh, perfect. We go to Wednesday, 10 o'clock. Karen, she don't work anymore. They fire. I say, we can't believe it. You know, that now after the military is coming, we have a lot of proof of what really happened. It's my son. He was accounting. He's in the bad part on the base. He's controlling the base. Everything is coming in and out in logistics. I keep denouncing about the problem to all the soldiers. And they don't use the drug. But the office people, they sell drugs to the soldiers. And now, my son is trash. The investigation never coming up. Any investigation is coming up. Because after, you know, they go to recruit in the school, and my son, 16-year-old, he's serving in Kosovo. He's okay, coming up. You know, we need you, something, friend. But after the boot camp, they change the history. You know? They treat like different. And now, after he's died, now my son is trash, but not for my family, for the government. And I say, who's supposed to be controlling this country? We supposed to control this country because we pay the taxes. But military, they don't care. They control our kids. They control, you know, the school. What about the government? Rich people, they control the country. They do whatever they want. They don't care about that. We lose any kid. They don't care about my son and this family. The kid is going. But the family stay here. We die forever. Okay? Thank you.
Hi, some of you know me. I'm Loretta Capron, a teacher at Northeastern, and my nephew was killed in Iraq in January this year. And I'm so happy that this bus stopped here. I was down in Crawford earlier this summer, and it was the most amazing thing I've seen since we shut down Lake Shore Drive here in Chicago a couple years ago, the day the war started, to see people coming together with, you know, all kinds of reasons to be against the war and all kinds of reasons to stand up and say we've got to bring the troops home and bring them home now. And I think one of the reasons somebody alluded to earlier, we've got an infrastructure that's falling apart around us. We're poor and working class people are left behind to die in a natural disaster that was that we knew was coming, that devastation could have been prevented, but the money and the machinery had been diverted to kill other people's children in another country. And it's not the kind of decisions that any of us would make. If we had the opportunity to make those decisions, it would be very different. We'd have people safe and secure in their homes in New Orleans. We would have all of these children home with their families. We wouldn't be bombing another country, basically, as someone has said before, so that we can control the oil that's under their feet. And so I'm glad that you all are here. I hope that you'll stick around and hear from some of these other families. They've got amazing stories to tell. And I'm going to have some of the students from the Anti-War Network speak, and Joe Hertel is going to tell us about what's going on here on the campus. And I would encourage you all to get involved. There are organizations here on this campus working against this war. Sign up with one of them, get involved, and stop this war so we can bring the troops home. And when do we want them home?
Now!
That's right.
My name is Cody Camacho. I'm an Iraq vet. I'm against this war. I served in Iraq from March 2003 to March 2004. Basically, part of my reasoning behind joining the military was to protect everyone's right. You know, I swore under oath that I'd protect this country and the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And, you know, it wasn't the Iraqis that were violating our Constitution. It was our own administration.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I mean, with my own two eyes, I can say that we're not reconstructing Iraq. And if we're liberating Iraq, then why are we being ordered to kick in doors and, you know, put guns to women and children's heads, you know, to get information out of them? I mean, Operation Iraqi Freedom. You know, basically, the general Iraqi consensus is that we are the white Saddam, except under Saddam Hussein, they had hospitals and at least some sort of a society. And basically, I want to say that I'm disgusted in our administration, because regardless of how outspoken they are, Congress had the voice to stop this war.
That's right.
And they chose to turn their head when I was sitting in Kuwait. I was depending on them as a soldier not to make me go into an illegal war.
Right.
But Congress turned their head. They're the ones with the power. I learned all about it in school. Growing up here in Chicago, you learn in social studies. The president has all kinds of checks and balances. Not one of them was exercised before we walked into Iraq. Second, I'd like to say I'm disgusted with corporate media. I mean, I've been all over. I've done countless hours of media. Down in Crawford, Texas, even here, who saw me on Fox News last night? You know, they recorded me. They recorded all of us, but they're not going to put my face on there because they want to focus on Cindy Sheehan. This isn't just about Cindy Sheehan.
That's right.
This is about, you know, there's 1,887 Gold Star families now. You know, Cindy Sheehan's just one of the 1,887. And, you know, we're all asking questions, you know. Some of them aren't being answered. Some of them are being avoided. You know, we had to chase the current person who holds the administration across the country to try to get those answers, and they still weren't answered. You know, he went all the way to Idaho to meet with families just because he knew they supported him. So, basically, my whole reasoning behind this being on this tour is the fact that I know the truth isn't going to be out there unless there's people out there telling the truth. You know, you're not going to get it from your local 10 o'clock news, and you're not going to get it from most of your newspapers. So I'm here to tell you the truth, you know, because the people got to take this country back.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm with Military Family Speak Out, and I'm the wife of a soldier. My husband's stationed at Fort Hood with the 4th ID, and he will go to Iraq in November, unless, of course, he doesn't. There's many things that can prevent him from doing that. I'm just not sure yet what they're going to be. I want to talk to you some about the Crawford experience, because there's a lot of people who ask a lot of questions about it. And basically, you should just know that we went as a very small band, and without the cooperation of the local sheriffs, we would never have been able to carry off this action. So peculiar as it may be, this movement was protected very carefully by the sheriffs of McLennan County. And they understood that despite Mr. Bush's idea that free speech needed to be put in a football stadium where people registered many blocks away, that in truth, there is no such thing in this country as a free speech zone because we live in a free speech zone.
That's right.
This is a free speech zone. Your college is a free speech zone. Y'all here to learn how to think and to discipline your mind, so this is where you do it. You don't let them put you in a football stadium. So we lived on both sides of Mr. Bush's front entrance and his back entrance, and there was no way in or out of his ranch without witnessing us. The way he chose to go after we moved in was up, and he went over us by helicopters, but there was still no way not to see us. I mean, how can you avoid looking at 10,000 people under you? I mean, we weren't all 10,000 there every day, but that's what traveled through in the time we were there. And on the last weekend we were there, there were 2,500 people under our big top tent, plus the people that were down in Camp 1, plus the people that were at the Peace House. So there was no way to avoid that we were there. He just chose not to talk to us and had to go to Idaho to talk to a family that agreed with him. The man likes to surround himself with people who agree with him, and so consequently he's out of touch with the nation. But y'all know how to get in touch with him. Y'all know that you just need to write your congresspeople, you need to phone them up every day, and you need to ask them one question. What are you doing today to stop this war? And if they don't answer you today, you tell them, I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm going to call you tomorrow. I'm going to call you every day. I'm going to keep after you every single day until you do something to stop this war. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sherry Glover. I am from Houston, Texas. I apologize for my voice. I speak on behalf of Military Families Speak Out, and I've been speaking in Crawford, and I spoke in Houston for the southern route of this tour, and I joined the northern route on this tour in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I'm taking it all the way to Washington, D.C. Now, I want you to know that I have a whole lot of people in my family that have been involved with the military. I honor the military. I don't have any problem with the military. I think it's a very honorable and noble profession. It makes for a great career. But there's something around the way this administration is abusing our precious military that it's affecting each and every single one of us. I have a son-in-law who's stationed in Talifar right now. My daughter is in the Ready Reserves. She just had a baby May the 1st. She's 4 months old. Her name is Dakota. Dakota does not know her daddy. Her daddy's not due to come home until March next year, if he comes home alive. I'm very concerned about the depleted uranium weaponry and that my son-in-law is going to come home and, poisoned with this stuff, and that he's going to get it on my daughter. He's going to get it on my only granddaughter. And, I'm looking at Gulf War all over again, not to mention the post-traumatic stress disorder that I've seen from the Vietnam War that's still around today. I have twin boys. They're 19 years old. One of my biggest concerns right now, my daughter's in community college, just started in Houston this week. And as a member of the individual Ready Reserves, should the administration decide that they're not recruiting enough people to go serve in Iraq now, they're going to activate the individual Ready Reserves right before they reinstate the Selective Service. So my twin boys, who are 19 years old, are ripe for plucking for the draft. So every member of my family is at stake here. Every day I'm waking up wondering, who am I going to lose next? Because I also have a little boy named Zachary. He died when he was 16 years old. It's been 7 years ago. And as a parent who has a dead child, I can't go through that again. I really can't go through that again as a result of an illegal, immoral war based on lies.
That's right.
So as a member of Military Families Speak Out, we just keep saying the four same things over and over and over again. We say stop this war now. We say bring our troops home now. And we say when they come back, take care of them the way they promised to take care of them when they signed up in the first place. And after that, never, ever, ever send our loved ones in harm's way based on lies. Y'all come on up to D.C. with us. Let's do it. Thank you. We can't do it without you. Come with us.
Good afternoon. My name is Stacey Bannerman. I'm from the Seattle, Washington area. I am a member of Military Families Speak Out, participating in the Bring Them Home Now bus tour from Crawford to D.C. Some of the other groups on the tour that you've heard from are Gold Star Families for Peace and Iraq Veterans Against the War. We'll have members from Veterans for Peace joining us on as well. I came to Military Families Speak Out. Actually, it's been somewhat of an interesting journey for me. I'm a lifelong pacifist, and so there have been some mental gymnastics required, I can assure you, to find myself in this situation, standing here. I never thought I would be. Of course, when my husband signed up for the Army National Guard, he never thought he'd be deployed. But he was. He served a year in Iraq. He came home, and I stand here before you today. It's a university. It's a learning community. It's an educational institution. Yeah, education is great. Knowledge is wonderful. The real question is, what are you going to do with it? We know enough now, as citizens of America, about all of the lies that have been told to us, about why we went into Iraq, what the mission is, why we're still there now, and why we just can't leave. We know better, don't we? We know better. What are we doing with what we know? This is probably going to be the critical issue of this generation, folks. And what you do with it is going to define your lives. It's going to define your future. It's going to define who we are as a nation and a democracy. Education and knowledge are great, but it's when you apply them that you become truly wise. It is time for the people of America to act on what they know. Over 60% of the people in this country know that we need to bring the troops home. We know that there is and never was any connection whatsoever between 9-1-1 and Saddam Hussein. We know for a fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction, and in fact, this current administration was fixing the facts to fit the decision they'd already made, and the decision they'd already made was to invade a sovereign nation. How dare we? How dare we? We cannot dictate democracy, and furthermore, I don't know that we're doing such a fabulous job of upholding a democracy here. Support the troops. Bring them home. And take care of them when they get here. The people in Louisiana and the Gulf know that the National Guard is needed in this country. We need to bring them home. Thank you.